Not only did we meet the goal, we met it 1 year early, and we exceeded the goal. We positively impacted 1.1 billion lives within 9 years, which was great.
Please welcome Benevity's Chief Impact Officer, Sona Khosla.
So for those of you who I haven't met yet, part of my role as Chief Impact Officer at Benevity involves heading up our social innovation lab called Benevity Impact Labs. And so one of the many things we do is study and promote ways for businesses, individuals, and nonprofits to accelerate impact and inclusion. And one of my favorite parts of my job is getting to the chance to sit down with courageous and inspiring leaders who are activating on their purpose to drive people to change. I do this as the host of our podcast called Speaking of Purpose. And so if topics like navigating ESG or doubling down on DEI or understanding the role of business in society sound like your cup of tea, then this is your cue to pull out your phone and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But today, I am thrilled to announce that we are launching our third season, and it starts right now with all of you with our first ever live recording of Speaking of Purpose. Fun, right? So to help me do this, I'm excited to introduce Brian Tippins, SVP and Chief Social Impact Officer at Cisco. A little bit about Brian first. He is responsible for advancing Cisco's social impact across communities around the world, creating tangible business value and fueling Cisco's purpose to power an inclusive future for all. As head of the social impact organization, Brian oversees the Cisco functions, taking on the most critical challenges facing our planet, society, and vulnerable underserved communities. His organization includes the Cisco Foundation, Crisis Response, Economic Empowerment, Learning and Digital Skills, Employee Community Impact, I'll keep going, Accessibility, and Social Justice. So Brian is clearly a very busy guy. The work Brian's team at Cisco is doing is truly the gold standard in data-driven measurement and reporting, literally proving that social impact turns into business impact, which I'm really excited to touch on today, among many other fascinating topics. So please welcome Brian Tippins to the stage.
Thank you. I love that theme music. Thank you.
That's a good one.
I want
right?
that every time I walk up on stage, please.
There you go. There you go. Awesome. The gift of knowing your tune.
I know there's older music for the older guest. I don't know if anybody else noticed
that. Is there ageism in our music?
Sorry about that. It could just be me.
I mean, I would like every song to be George Michael if
there you
it
go.
Were me. So, Brian, I am so excited to have you joining me today. For this first ever live episode of Speaking of Purpose. So thank you for experimenting.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and so we've had a chance to kind of catch up as a fellow Chief Impact Officer, Chief Social Impact Officer. We debated about who has the better job, but we'll save that for later.
Yes.
But you've been in your role at Cisco now for about a year and a half.
About a year and a half, yeah.
And before your current gig, you were in a variety of sustainability, diversity, and dare I say it, procurement roles.
For a brief time in my career.
Yeah, but procurement people aren't known for being generous, Brian.
Right.
And so I actually would just love to hear who is the man behind the mantle.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about who you are aside from your title and your role.
First, I want to say thank you for having me. It's so inspirational and how inspired I was by Kelly's remarks earlier and how every slide and everything she talked about so resonated with me and my purpose and the work that we're doing. I've been on my purpose journey for my entire life. She talked about we each kind of have our why we get drawn into this work, and mine started very early. I was born and raised in West Oakland, California, with lower socioeconomic income. Oh, some Oaklanders in the house, okay? So you know West Oakland and the community that I grew up in at a time when it was sort of lower economic, social economic, to parents who weren't college educated but had a value for education and sent us to their private parochial Catholic schools across town. And so my life has always been that Catholic giving tradition, giving back to communities. I've always been naive enough to think I can change the world and driven by this goal to do well by doing good. And I took that into my career. I started out doing technology work, thinking I was going to be a technologist. but then went to law school and pivoted a bit into legal roles, working for technology companies like Intel and Hewlett Packard. And I kind of found my way into procurement. It's funny. In retrospect, it's a funny story. So I was working for Hewlett Packard at a time when we acquired Compaq Computers. Does anybody remember that big mega acquisition?
Yeah.
And at the time, I was doing legal work, doing contract negotiation in a business unit, the storage division. And at some point, they came and tapped me on the shoulder as we were going through that acquisition and said, Brian, we're going to move you over to procurement to do some vendor management. And I was very young in my career, so I didn't ask any questions. I just did it. Come to find out later on, they were trying to protect me. Procurement saved me because there was a mandate that said anyone who's doing shadow legal as a result of the merger would have to be let go. And so procurement saved my life on some level. But it was good in that it got me into, well, very tactical work that wasn't really purpose-driven. It gave me the opportunity to migrate at some point into doing supply chain diversity, which is around increasing our procurement spend with underrepresented businesses around the globe, which was my first foray into doing purpose for a living. And I caught the bug and determined at that point that every role would be a purpose-driven role. And that took me in to at HP, spending about 5 years as our chief diversity, equity, inclusion officer, spending some time as our chief sustainability officer, spending some time as the head of the foundation. So I've reached this point in my career where purpose was just very much tied to my business identity. And I realized in 2022 that I had been with the company 22 years and 10 big roles. It was time for the next thing. You know, we were in the great resignation and everybody's rethinking purpose. I was thinking, what am I going to do when I grew up? And I decided to take a bit of a sabbatical, take a little bit of a break. And it didn't last very long because Cisco came calling. And I learned about the breadth and depth of the purpose-driven work that the company is doing, which drew me in. It's been a great ride, and I've been there, like you say, about a year and a half, and have the most amazing job in the world.
Okay, well, paper, rock, scissors
right,
later on that.
I got it.
Okay, so I guess I'm not going to razz you too much about procurement because you did select Benevity at HP and then
Cisco,
so I'm not going to razz you too much. But while we're talking about things that are personal, I want to ask you about a provocative post that you put on LinkedIn.
Oh, wow, okay.
So last week, it was National Pet Day.
Okay.
And you posted this. So I'd like you to explain this what we're going to put up.
So it was National Pet Day, and my boss had challenged all of the team members, the leadership team, to take pictures of their pets. We were going to share them in an internal all-employee meeting and just do something different to kind of personalize us. And I don't really have any pets, but I've got a little ranch in East Texas, which is my happy place where I can retreat to when I've got some downtime. And my wife just acquired a whole new flock of chickens. They were chicks just a few weeks ago. So this is a very fresh picture of one of my chickens.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It was so unexpected.
When they grow, it's one egg per day per chicken, so it's a good investment.
So they're egg chickens. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
My husband had ordered 6 chickens without telling me, and then decided while we were on a walk one day, he's like, oh, by the way, we're getting chickens today.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're not.
They
what?
Take a lot of work.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not prepared for this. This is like a big family. Okay. So a lot of people...
You scared me when you said provocative. I was like, what is she going to pull out?
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks,
yeah. You never
bad.
Know what people will dig up, right?
Yeah, it's
terrifying. So a lot of people ask me what my job actually is.
Sure.
It's a sexy title, but it's not as well-defined as other C-suite roles.
Definitely.
It's an emerging C-suite role. So some of our executive team members describe me as the conscience of the company, which is really cool, but also like heavy and laden,
scary,
right, with responsibility.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about the creation of the role of Chief Social Impact Officer at Cisco. Like, how was it created? How did it emerge? Like, who advocated for
That's
it?
That's a great question. Yeah, and it's interesting because there's many of us with titles, call it Chief Purpose Officer, Chief Social Impact Officer, but I found in my journeys, and I'm sure you'll all agree, that we all do things slightly different. The portfolio that lives under our organizations is slightly different in each of our teams. Ours has been a bit of a journey. I mentioned I came in a year and a half ago and saw that, you know, we're a very large company. We're 85,000 team members around the globe, and we are about 40 years old. We're going to celebrate our 40th anniversary this year. And so we had pockets of purpose all over the enterprise. And so a lot of the last year and a half has been pulling together those various pieces. It's quite a portfolio, as you mentioned. Crisis response, accessibility, social justice, community impact. The list goes on and continues to grow. So it was kind of my boss. It was our, so on our journey, we've got an executive vice president of people, policy, and purpose. We're at this point in our journey, we've pulled together multiple pieces of purpose under one very senior executive. And so it's kind of her hypothesis that we could do more to pull these pieces together. And as we've done so, what you say about being kind of the soul of the company, the heart of the company really resonates because we found ourselves in that position because of the way that we're able to make impact in communities, the way that we're able to provide accessible, inclusive future for all, the ways we're able to respond in crises and donate in communities were looked at as sort of the heart and soul of the company. But something interesting has happened recently where Kelly showed a great visual with all the crises and natural disasters around the globe. We're looked at to be able to guide on those issues as well. We do a lot of crisis response around the globe. We've got some unique assets. We're in the communications business. And so if there's a fire in Maui or an earthquake in Morocco or a typhoon in the Philippines, we can not only invest in NGO partners, like World Central Kitchen and others, who's a great partner, but we can also mobilize our team members to put themselves in harm's way and go in and provide connectivity to first responders. And when there's a natural disaster, I can look at a matrix and say, magnitude of impact, proximity to our sites, et cetera, and determine exactly on a matrix how to respond. Well, you can't do the same thing on societal issues. It's a little bit tougher and more subjective. And we can't anticipate when the societal issues will come up, but we can anticipate there's going to be more. We're sitting here right now as the Supreme Court debates further restrictions to a woman's right to choose based on Idaho case, right? There's always going to be a thing. And so what we've done, under the leadership, by the way, of our leader of community impact, my colleague Kelly Petrick, who's in the corner, who runs this business in the real way, right? Under Kelly's leadership, we've put together a framework, a societal issues response framework, working across the enterprise, working with external crisis comms to build that sort of matrix and funnels. How do we respond when there's a societal issue? And it's partially around governance, pulling together the right people, but it's also a rubric around impact to brand, employee sentiment, all those things you think you want to bring to bear. And it's proven to be really effective in being responsive when an issue happens, but it's turned out that now we're looked at to how do we determine who we're going to be as a company and what's going to be a bit of our brand. And so it resonates to me when you say being the soul. It's tough work that we all have to do in that regard.
Yeah, it is, and you're on the front lines and you're making heavy decisions on behalf of a lot of people, not just your employees in your company, but the communities that are impacted.
Yeah, and I think we as companies and our senior leaders are looked at more and more, and Kelly referenced this, to take a point of view, to take a position, to speak out on an issue, and we have to do it in sort of a scientific way. We can't just make snap decisions and be reactive. Companies find themselves in trouble when they do that. So it's good to have a framework. At the end of the day, we're going to do what our heart tells us what to do, but having that data behind it and have that decision analysis is helpful, because I think we're all going to be, again, tough things are going to continue to happen, and we as leaders have to drive our companies to do the right things.
Well, I'm going to come back to that later,
sure.
But just to the point of like the portfolio, I was having lunch with a chief sustainability inclusion officer yesterday, and he said literally while he was on the plane, another portfolio fell under him, like literally while he's like, oh, okay. Right. So that's the role. So we're launching the annual State of Corporate Purpose report tomorrow, which I know you read, Brian.
Definitely.
And one of the big themes that we discovered in the last year is the emergence of this thing that we're calling the impact mindset, which you're actually describing, and it's where impact is embedded across the enterprise, right? Through brand, culture, operations. And it's not just the siloed thing anymore, even though it's centrally maybe driven. But there's still a bunch of debate about whether business should be purpose-driven, whether business should just focus on shareholder returns. And that's kind of starting to, that debate's getting opened up again. I'd love your view. Like, does business have a right to get involved? And are there places and ways in which you should and shouldn't play?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's we've got the benefit inside Cisco of being very far along in our journey of tying purpose to business value. Our purpose as a company is to power an inclusive future for all. And we talk a lot about good for the world, good for business, and that helps, right? It's already kind of part of our DNA and we live it every day. Kelly talked about some of the weaponization of woke and ESG and the retrenchment and pulling back from focuses on D&I programs. And I think that that's certainly the case. We saw in 2020 after the tragic murder of George Floyd and Ahmaud and Breonna, at no time in the past had more commitments been made around the DE&I space and commitments around financial commitments and staffing up of teams. And we've seen a lot of that kind of pull back over the last few years. But I don't think it goes away. I think we'll always see sort of ups and downs. I think this move from purely shareholder primacy to a broader set of stakeholders is just the way of life. The terms might change. We might not call it ESG, but we're all around having carbon neutral aspirations and being an impactful force in our communities because it's the right thing to do, but also because it drives business value. I think our challenge as impact leaders is to be able to talk about the impact of lives, impacting communities, the work that we do that drives positive change, but importantly, how it ties back to the work of the business. Otherwise, our programs are kind of, they're not as sticky as they could be.
We've actually been working with Kelly on your team to showcase.
Who's amazing, by the way. Did I say she's
amazing? Who's amazing? Yeah, amazing. To really showcase the correlation. You've done some deep data on, like, deep studying around the correlation around employee metrics. Can you just touch on that a little
bit? Yeah, that's exciting. I think there's more upside potential. So Kelly's team helps drive for the enterprise community impact. Our focus, our Benevity at Core, our community impact portal, our focus on employee engagement, employee volunteerism, employee giving. And we set a metric a few years ago, an aspiration of every year, at least 80% of our team members taking an action, making a pledge, volunteering their community, at least one action. And every year, the past few years, we've far exceeded that. I think we're probably about 85% this year, which has my boss asking, well, maybe we should make the goal 90%, right? But it's an amazing goal and amazing that the work's being done. And while that's a target that we focus on and we publicize, we're very proud of, the question then becomes, well, what's the impact of that? And so her team did a longitudinal analysis across our enterprise over a couple of years and was able to identify that of people who took at least one action, attrition was lower than the rest of the enterprise, bonuses were higher, getting recognition from their teammates was higher, promotion rates were higher, right? It's great correlation. It's not causation, but it's correlation. But it starts us on this path of measuring what is the impact of social impact. What's the impact of volunteerism? What's the impact of employee engagement? It's like we're working with Benevity to publish those results, and so everyone will have an opportunity to read more about that. But I'm excited about the impact journey that you're on, and I'm excited to work with you to do even more of that. What are the downstream economic impacts of the work that we do?
Yeah, and that's definitely on our radar. As you know, we're Kelly talked a lot about social outcomes reporting, but we do want to absolutely complement it with the other side, the heart and the brain again. Okay. What do you think are the toughest decisions you're going to make in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
So for us, we're on this journey. You mentioned quite a bit of a portfolio that we have. I think one of our biggest challenges now is how to weave all those together and begin to integrate around purpose. There's so much intersectionality between all those pieces: accessibility, crisis response, foundation, social justice, et cetera. I think one of our biggest decisions is, it's what's our next big audacious goal, our big ambitious goal that weaves all that together. It was great to see Kelly show the slide of the different organizations and their big ambitious goals. I'm glad that so many of us are doing that. We just were able to announce the completion of one of our goals. We had made an announcement in 2015. Our then fairly new CEO, Chuck Robbins, challenged us on a stage, didn't tell us before he was going to challenge us. We had long had this tradition of giving back.
CEOs do that.
Yeah, CEOs will do that, like at a big Benevity Live, make a big pledge on stage that they didn't tell us team members about. But we made this big ambitious goal to positively impact 1 billion lives in 10 years. And at that time, we really didn't even know how we were going to do it, but we knew it was the right thing to do. And we were able to announce last year through a lot of work with NGO partners, a lot of work through our skills development engine, Cisco Networking Academy, that not only did we meet the goal, we met it 1 year early, and we exceeded the goal. We positively impacted 1.1 billion lives
That's
within
amazing.
9 years, which was great. Now, that's amazing, but what typically happens in companies like ours is the CEO says, "That's great, I'm glad you met it, what's the next goal?" Right? And so we're actively trying to determine what's that next big audacious goal. And as we do, while it was great to have reached that goal, we learned some things. Kelly alluded to it earlier, that you know, we, absent some consistent measures around impact, we employed a consultant to do some external analysis and assurance, and we learned that that was great, so that we could say what we really did do. That was incredibly onerous, incredibly burdensome for our NGO partners, our nonprofit partners, and so we've learned not to do that again. I'm super excited about the impact work that Benevity is doing. You may be able to help us out on that journey, but I think that's one of the next big challenges. And then just again, given all the crises in the world, you know, this is the year of the election, over 50 major countries with elections impacting a big portion of the world's population, contentious elections in the U.S., there's always going to be some things that we have to tackle.
So just being ready.
Nicholas. Exactly.
All this
what's going on right now while we're on stage, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we got almost through this entire conversation without talking about AI.
Oh, wow. That's a record.
So why don't we quickly talk about AI?
Sure.
Yeah. So what do you think about AI and how are you thinking about it in terms of the impact work that you do?
I think a couple of things. So we're a technology company, and we're producing products for our end users. So we spend a lot of time in our company with our development teams thinking about responsible uses of AI, how we're having large language models that are representative, you know, good data in, good data out. How are we even responsible and ethical? But we also think about it from an external facing point of view. How do we work with our nonprofit partners who may not have that level of tech savvy or capability to be able to think about AI implications in their own workforce? And so we make available to them our responsible AI toolkit and invest in their technology development. But most important, I think we can't leave anybody behind on this journey. We have to ensure that not only are all of us, all the communities around the world represented in those models to kind of fuel the AI outputs, but also that we all play a role in development of new AI technologies. So we're investing quite a bit on skills development. You know, we recently, in fact, it was only in early April, we signed on to a new, in fact, we led the development of a new consortium. It's a AI-enabled ICT consortium. It's Cisco and a few other technology companies, Intel and IBM and Accenture and Eightfold and a few others, to make commitments around how we're going to take the most common IT roles, anticipate what changes they may need to upskill and reskill, and then focus and make commitments on what we're going to do there. Cisco, for example, we've committed to train 25 million in cybersecurity within the next 10 years. The other companies made similar commitments. All that to say, we all have a role to play in making sure that there's a role for everyone to play in kind of this AI revolution.
Yeah, that's great. That feels really true to the purpose of powering an inclusive future for all. Okay, Brian, a lot of folks in the room want your job, like not yes. your job.
Jobs are nice. It's the nice best job in the world.
They're nice people. They're not going to, but but the role that you play, a lot of people are aspiring to become a chief impact officer. And so I just love, like, what's your one piece of advice that you'd give to the people in this room in that journey?
I'd say start with the end in mind. Again, none of our roles are exactly the same, but there's some commonality between the different kind of work streams inside of our teams. I'd say start with a vision of where you think you want to be. Identify what skills you need that are lacking. If you've spent your entire career around community impact, maybe there's an opportunity to do a little bit of work on the crisis side or on the accessibility side or some of these adjacent teams. And also, I'd say work the value of your network. This is an incredibly powerful network, so spend time here not just listening to the incredibly compelling words of our speakers on stage, but also to spending the time kind of building your network and leveraging those networks.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's one of the most powerful things is the community.
Definitely.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you
so much for joining
us today. Thank you. Thanks for the conversation. Thank you.
It was so great.
Thank you.